apparently he had a pretty big night on the Friday night after the footy with the lads. But, like, look, I think it's a little bit sus when you message the boys saying you got, like, hamstring tightness.
Look, I was expecting maybe, like, from yelling at the footy, some throat soreness or, like, maybe a throat infection of some kind. But, no, it turns out, yeah, sore hammy, laid out, Svender. I don't know. It's a bit sus.
Yeah, he really, like, he loves the baggers in more than one way, I guess.
and but, we know, we were at the Carlton game last year. We know how hard they go after a win against North.
So, yeah, like, true. Oh, that's true, man.
Who knows what happened, but, yeah, the old Svender's a bit under the weather now.
Yeah,
so.
And then when he said that his doctor's name was Dr. Doolittle, I'm like, that's a bit sus. Like, where do you get these doctors, bro? Like, but anyway, yeah. But yeah, no, Georgie Svender's a little laid out, which is sus given the circumstances of the last week or so.
That's all right.
But we do forgive him, and this gives us the opportunity of the first two-man pot of the year, which so,
and we can say whatever we want about North and Carlton, and he can't do a thing about it.
Exactly, we can change, we can rewrite history today, which it's a good. Why not?
Yeah, we'll see how I feel later.
We can swap the score lines around. You know, 137 North. But anyway, interesting week of footy. I'll tell you that, like. From a footy perspective, it was good. But from a super coach perspective, I'm drained. So if I seem less than enthused about footy, that might be why.
Matt's as depressed.
Big time, man. I don't have Gorn. Like, this is the... Hey, this Malaka doesn't have Gorn. Like,
if you can be bothered editing in your own quote from your super coach team reveal, you can add in the bit where you say, Gorn's not human. You can play it now.
Oh, Gorn. When I said Gorn is actually human.
Sorry, he actually
I said
is
Gorn
human.
Is actually human. Yeah, no, he's not.
You know what? Clip
he's
that. Not. Add it in right now.
He's an alien with a beard. And that's why he has to have the beard so we can cover up that weird, you know, alien chin of his.
Yep.
But yeah, shout out to him, man. Shout out to him. He's a good player.
Yeah, we'll touch on Gorney a bit more later on, I reckon. But yeah. First game of the round. So Brisbane go from last year not losing a single game at the Gabba to losing their second out of two. And the Pies get their first win of the season. So huge win for the Pies. But geez. Brizzy is in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, and more than that, the you know, we've already had the controversy of the drug stuff, right? But now we've got the controversy of, you know, the Bris Vegas lads, you know, getting a bit rowdy, going to be crazy.
Was that? I didn't actually read the article, but like...
Look, geez. I don't know. It was one of those things where I didn't really research it. I just asked the dude from work and he's like, oh, apparently there was an iCloud of, you know, all their shenanigans over in Las Vegas. And it's caused, you know, relationship divides and stuff like that. Jeez. And then they've come out and said, ah, it's not that bad. But that's always what the AFL does, you know. They did it for the, you know, for the drug testing. Mm. The Brisbane players are doing it for this. So, like...
They're always going to cover it up. But I'll tell you what. I mean, they can do whatever they want in the offseason. But
yeah.
I did listen to an interview of Dane Zorko a few weeks ago talking about how they've prepared for the season and so on. And he was basically saying they didn't do many match sims.
Okay.
And it was a bit more like immediately after the loss of the grand final, straight into like the positivity of it and like go again mentality, but without seemingly enough trying to correct their wrongs. Like, I don't know how much, if it's coming from Dane Zorko, I believe it, like not a lot of match sim. And then you watch them in games and they're not managing games well. So
yeah, that's interesting. That
it's a bit, I don't know what has gone wrong with them. Like their firepower, Hipwood, under scrutiny, rightfully so. He was atrocious against Collingwood.
Yeah. I feel like we've been talking about him as a meh player for a while.
Yeah, you know, but not to the extent of like, he was dropping every mark on Thursday night. It was bad.
Yeah, but look, that's not like extra match simulations isn't going to help that. That's just,
I know.
That's just the dude. Maybe he's involved in the scandal. I don't know.
Yeah, he must be. You know, well, I'll tell you what, his scandal is his haircut. Yeah. That's,
yeah, he's a big fumbler, you know. So, look, with the Pies, man, they really needed that one, you know, obviously. Nick Dacos comes back after a gone missing type week, has a decent game. And the drive from him, Noble, Jack Crisp when he came on, sort of back to the old days, really.
Yeah.
With the Pies. So that's good to see.
And their forward line, like we talk about Brisbane's forward line. Aside from, I'd say, like Danaher seems to be at least providing a presence like he usually does. I mean, he's such a big human. But
yeah,
Cameron's not being himself. Hipwood's not being himself. But you look at the Pies today, finally, they delivered. Elliott 4, Hill 3, Majacek 3, McCreary 2. Like, it's probably the first game of the season where their forward line's actually functioned as we expected it to. But yeah, I have a bit of a quote here from Georgie as well, who's been kind enough to send some notes. And he reckons says a lot more about the Lions than it does the Pies. So he's not really thinking.
He's not buying into the Pies actually being.
I don't think he thinks they're back just yet.
Mm.
But I think we can all agree, like, Brisbane is just not playing well. And they play, we'll get to it later, but they're playing North next week at Gather Round.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, man. Like, that is the biggest danger game for them.
Like, could you imagine? They've lost now, so they're 0-3.
Mm. No, they're... Oh, yeah, no, they're
0-3. Yep. They're 0-3, and they play North, who also obviously hasn't won. But, all the pressure on them, they cannot lose to North and go 0-4. Like, no chance. Yeah, Surely not, man.
Nah, you wouldn't think so, but because George is not here to, you know, change the tips up, we're probably going to go... We're going to tip cheeky North.
We'll see how we go later.
Maybe not. Yeah.
I did want to mention, actually, so... Throughout the pod, I might just weave in a few things I noticed, as usual, but specifically umpire-wise, right? Yep.
Oh, I love it.
Man, the first two goals out of the three were goal-reviewed and, like, comically, like, waste of time. One of them was the one where there was a snap from near the goals and, like, it was probably half a meter away from the behind from the goalpost and they wanted to review to make sure it didn't hit the post. Like, and he's standing right under the ball and you're looking at it like, how are you not just backing it? And they review every goal anyway. This is what I don't understand. You're embarrassing yourself.
That is the thing. It's like, just like...
It's genuinely embarrassing. Like,
And the sort of dumbfounded look that the goal umpire always gives to the main umpire, when he just goes... That look. It's just like, I hate that look, man. We know it's coming and it's just...
I feel like, the actual field umpires, while we don't rate them either, I feel like they're sick and tired of the goal umpires already this year.
I'm curious actually. Like, there should be counting how many goal reviews the goal umpires like ask for.
I bet,
and that should be part of their, you know, their KPIs. Minimizing
it. I reckon this year they're about 90% of the way of what they did for the whole of last year. That's my general like vibe watching the footy. It's crazy, man.
And you know what's another one I've realized is David Roden still a goal umpire?
Yeah, where's he been?
Yeah.
Standards have dropped, man.
Exactly. Because I feel like I never really see him asking for it. You know, or maybe not this year anyway. But anyway.
He backs himself in, Rhodes.
Yeah, 100%.
Always did in the contest as well.
That's him, man. That's him. You got that strength and pace, man.
100%, man.
Better eyesight than all those lads as well, apparently.
You know what? They should only get ex-AFL footballers as goal umpires.
Maybe one of us, bro. Honestly, I'd love that job.
I would love to do it for a quarter. Just to prove how easy it is.
Like, how hard is it to pay attention to the red ball flying in the air most of the time around about where you are?
The post ones do my head in too, because, like, you can literally hear it nicking the post.
You're right.
It makes a ding. Have you ever been to the park? Like, you can hear that, man.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, I did want to say too, like, usually I don't want Collingwood to win, but the Brisbane fans starting to annoy me.
Oh, okay.
So, they're down in this game. They start getting a bit of momentum at one point, midway through the game. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for the crowd getting involved. But you know how they sing their song after each goal, like whatever?
Yeah, like we're going to be doing soon.
Like apparently North's going to do. But they're doing it to the point of like singing another whole chorus as the game's being played.
Yeah.
And you're losing. Yeah. Like that, at that point, they hadn't even caught up to be in the lead.
Yeah.
And it's not even like the end of the game where everything's just gone crazy. We're talking like second or third quarter. Actually, I think it was the second. Second quarter, you're still losing and I'm having to listen to you singing while the ball's in the 50. Like, for me, cringe.
Look, is that how they get the Brisbane or the Queensland crowd over? Is that how they, like, it's a concert? Like, I know you guys don't like footy, but we have music. You know, is that the marketing? Perhaps.
I just think, like, once the ball bounces, that's about it. Finish your sentence.
Mate, I think the umpires wait to bounce it. They wait for the song to finish. Like, ridiculous.
Well,
like,
they kept going, man, and they were G-ing up the comeback. Unfortunately for them, they couldn't deliver. So anyway, that's a bit of a beef I've got at the moment with the Brisbane crowd.
I did beef with the umpires, Brisbane crowd.
Beef, man, until North gets good and I can be just happy on every pod, I'm just fighting everybody. I'll tell you who I won't fight. I just wanted to mention.
Yeah.
How has John Noble not been a staple in the team this year?
I don't know. He's such a solid player.
He seems to be a whipping boy sometimes for Pies fans. Like, at least he was in the past. But every time I seem to be watching, he's quick at ground level, always an option as an outlet, and he's generally solid enough with the ball.
Which is what they base their game style around. He's like the... a guy who's always willing to receive and willing to use the ball quickly.
It's actually kind of crazy how he's, especially our grand final was a tough one, but even starting the year, I think he was sub in the first round and then out of the team. It's like, come on, man. Anyway, anything else you wanted to mention from this one, Mata?
Not really. Not really. I'm content.
Guess we have to talk about...
We'll skim over this one.
You know what? I want to go last. So should we read out some of George's comments? Do you want to go first?
Look, I'll be honest. I don't have too much to say because I was working during this game. Okay. So like, and I just didn't have the energy because of Supercoach purposes and other purposes to actually just watch, particularly the third quarter where we actually did all right. But for the first half, I did watch, right? Like, yeah, most of the first half. Their midfield, Carlton midfield, they're dogs, man. They're just, and that's, this is what Georgie says a lot. And I haven't read his notes, but I'm sure he's probably mentioned something like that. They are dogs, man. They go in, they're, you know, they're just aggressive. The contested play is very good. And then when you've got those forwards, it's just a simple game. Mm-hmm. They really simplify the game. And for us, we just couldn't stop it. Like when you got, you know, Toby Pink is going to be a whipping boy, especially with that name. He's just, you know, and the hair color as well. He's going to be the whipping boy for years, for as long as he plays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't up to it. But we couldn't really expect him and Callan Dawson to stop and Core to stop those you know, the Coleman medalists.
Yeah.
And the umpiring was, from the part of the game that I saw, the umpiring was crap.
Yeah, so, something George did touch on, saying lots made about the umpiring.
And then he's going to say, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Look, he said, no, he's actually admitted, like, Blues got most of them. But it made, because he was at the game, George, and he said it made the game annoying to watch, ruined the flow of the game, and so on. So that's pretty obvious to see.
Yeah.
And he's mentioned that a lot of the, I guess, extra scrutiny that especially North fans are giving is that a lot of the frees were in the 50s.
Yeah. And there was, it was 50-meter penalties as well. A
couple
of 50s.
Like, look, I have seen the 50-meter penalties again. We gave away six.
Yeah, that's
honestly three of them. They're there. That's fine.
Yeah,
a couple of them were just way too harsh.
Yeah,
the free kicks in the 50 look, especially the ones relating to Kerno and Mackay. It's part of the IQ of a defender is to know when to wrestle and when to let go, when to take your eye off the ball, when not to.
Yeah,
and the North defenders just simply weren't good enough. I'll be the first to admit it. Like when the ball's going over your head, if you turn around, take your eye off the ball, and then engage in contact, they're giving that every day of the week. It's a potentially unfair rule if they can turn in time before it affects the play. I think it's a bit harsh to pay that, but I'm not going to act like we didn't get bullied by Kerno and Mackay because we did. And George has commented as well in the chat. It's the first time Kerno and Mackay have both been in peak form at the same time, which is
That's a scary thought,
true,
man.
And scary.
Yeah.
So look, and North again, we don't do ourselves any favor. We concede heaps of goals from turnover. The ball's coming in so fast. Like it's hard to pick on the defense, but ultimately you still can do better in a one-on-one. Like it's a bit of both for me.
I will run through a few things that he's mentioned.
Yeah.
Good to see Elijah Holden's debut, run out the game, showed his running ability. Yeah, he was impressive. He got a lot of the ball. They tagged LDU. Yep. Hewitt, you know, helped locked him down. What else has he...
70 points from turnover. So here's the thing about that one is North will always concede more goals from turnover than anything else. And Carlton knew it. And you could tell every time they did tackle us and the ball goes loose, the Blues players are already overcommitting to attack because they know that it's theirs to be won. So it was, look, it was a frustrating watch. What I will say, like this is my little bit now on the game.
Yep.
I'm tired, like, of North losing. Like, that's my overall feeling.
Yeah.
One win in 23 games. And the win was in the last round against Gold Coast.
When we didn't even want to win.
We shouldn't have won. I mean, you know, it's fine. But
yeah,
Gold Coast didn't care about that game. We won. Cool. The last win was round two against Freo in Freo. And the other win before that was round one against West Coast last year. So, 23 games, basically, with one consolation win. And then 22 losses in a row. Some close. The Sydney one could have won.
Yeah. Essendon one got
a couple of them that were there. Yeah.
Saints.
But a lot of them just frustrating, man. And the issue I have is we're younger than ever. Like this is Clarko's now, you could say first full year. Technically second year. our list has gotten younger, even from when it was a couple of years ago when the rebuild started.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We were talking about earlier. Ben McKay goes, Tarryn Thomas goes.
And that's the reality, man. Yeah. Is like our two leaders, Simpkin and McDonald, Simpkin less so, but McDonald is just not a great footballer anymore.
No.
At one point, he was quite good.
Yeah, there was a time where he was randomly good at intercepting and he was, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, he was sort of playing that, you know. I'm not going to say Tom Stewart. Like, he was playing the Tom Stewart role. Obviously, nowhere near to that level. But at least there was an acceptable level where, you know, he could justify his role in the team.
Exactly.
Now he just can't.
Exactly. And you look at our team right now. What do we need? Better defenders. Okay. We lose McKay. Logue's out with an ACL. Aiden Corr's our leader back there. He's just not good enough.
No, he's not.
You know, you look at... You lose Tarryn Thomas, arguably our first or second most skillful player, or third behind Cheezel and LDU. He's up there with them. We lose him.
Yeah.
You know,
And then a team like Collingwood or Gold Coast will get him at the end
of
next
year.
Yeah,
in a year or two, yeah.
Yep, 100%. So like,
what I'm saying is the rebuild's been rough and I would be able to stomach it a lot more if we had a few solid, good, experienced players and then the young kids were making mistakes. But the funny thing is, Sheezel, McKercher, Wardlaw, they're the only good thing about our games currently.
Yeah.
No. The leaders suck. Like guys like Stevenson now are leaders apparently. Core. Mm. They're our worst players, man. I'm actually over it. Like,
yeah, even like, you know, too early to make a judgment on him, but Zach Fisher makes a lot of mistakes. You know what I mean? And he's meant to be one of the more experienced players as well.
Correct. You know, and so there was moments in that game, there was one exact one where Fisher, who you just mentioned, defensive 50, doesn't clear the ball, handballs it back to Aiden Corr, who tries to like walk around someone and gets tackled. like we just said, two experienced players costing us the goals, right? So for me, man, I'm just over it. Like we've got, again, a couple more players like CCJ, who unfortunately got injured.
Yeah, he was on the chopping block, but
doing nothing. Yeah,
yeah, but sad to see him go like that. That's you know, not what we want to see.
Tucker, you know, doing nothing.
Yeah,
like we've just got so many passengers, and I know it'll get better because our young players are very good. It's not just delusion. I think everyone can agree.
Yeah,
but it's gonna get. I'm not gonna say worse because we can't get much worse than we've been, but I can't see us winning many games. As many as I thought we would. And it's sad, man.
I was hoping 6-10. And that's looking unlikely again.
Well, last year was what? 3 in the end. And maybe you could say 4 was the Swans one, which we didn't actually win. So it was 3 in the end.
Something tells me we had another win.
The first two and the last one.
That's crazy, man.
So at this point in time, 4 would be great. I can't see us winning more than 4, which is, again, upsetting, man. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, well done to Carlton, though. Look, they are a stronger team this year. For them, I think it's all about just peaking at the right time again.
Yeah. And look, actually, another little thing, another positive for them as well is Wiedering came back and he was just the general, as you'd expect, you know.
Like, he still kicked 3 on him, but.
Yeah. But, you know, he looked just fine, though. You know what I mean? Yeah, obviously, you know, not everyone can play well on Larky. This is what it is. But, yeah, he's looking, back to it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm a bit depressed about it, but. Hopefully we can get a few surprises. We got Brisbane and then Hawthorne. Actually, Brisbane, Geelong, then Hawthorne coming up. So I'd love to win one of those. Probably Hawthorne.
But. Yeah, probably just Hawthorne, man. What a bad run of games we have to start the season.
Actually,
man. Like why don't we have either West Coast, you know, Hawthorne earlier, Richmond we thought were going to be a bad team, but they're actually all right. But the teams that we thought were going to be bad, give us one of those nice and early. You know
I did have that written down. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
The AFL can get stuffed with our fixture this year.
It's a mess. It's
first up,
opening around costed me Max Gorn, and then
enough about your
Supercoach. No.
So we play prelim finalist GWS away in the first game, right? Then we play. I'm drawing blanks now. Remind me, who have we lost to so far?
GWS Freo
at home.
Yeah,
no, that was round 3.
Was it?
Hang on, this is bad.
It is bad podcasting.
Round two.
Round two was Freo.
Sorry, Freo.
Yeah, I got that right.
No, you're right. Round two, Freo at home. Fine.
Yeah.
Then we go Brisbane, another grand finalist.
Yeah.
Then we go Geelong in Geelong.
That's
like
cool,
I'm sorry, man. When you're the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be playing prelim finalists and grand finalists in the majority of your opening games.
Whereas GWS got us and West Coast in their first 3 games before a bye to relax themselves.
Yeah. Like just a bit of a sook there, but like, come on, man.
Yeah. No, but I think it's very valid. It's a very valid sook.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thanks for validating my sook, man.
Valid sook. That should be a new segment. Valid sook of the week.
It's just me every week, to be honest, man. All right. So the next game. Oh, here's another thing, actually, I wanted to beef on with the fixture. You're giving us the Good Friday game, and then you give another game after that. So we're like...
What's the point? Yeah.
We're like the opener. We should be the main event.
What's going on here, man? That is true. Yeah. No, you're belittling our event
game. Our moment. Do we have another game after the Anzac clash? I don't think so.
Nah.
Crap, mate. Anyway. Yeah. Excuse my sooking today.
Mm. Nah, valid sooking.
Valid again. Valid sooking. Let's talk about the... actual main event on Good Friday.
Yeah,
which Freo versus Adelaide.
And why would you pick that as a main event?
Like, well, they didn't justify it. No, 69-34.
Yeah. Like,
I've got to be honest, I didn't watch this game. But all I can see with Adelaide is that without Tex Walker firing,
there's nothing.
What are they? It's crazy.
There's nothing there, man. There's nothing there in the forward line. I think they're probably hoping that Phil Thorpe would be that guy. Perhaps, you know, at least to just give him something. And he would have given him a bit of aerial presence and, you know, someone who can chop out Rob. But, they're just, we overrated them, I think.
Mm.
Overrated them massively, unfortunately.
Well, that's what Georgie's mentioned as well. Like, you can't believe that we had Adelaide in the eight.
And Freo. Like,
and Freo outside it.
Yeah.
We might have, way outside.
Yeah, we had Freo like probably like 13th, 14th or something. Something crazy like that.
Maybe lower.
Maybe. But yeah, shout out to them, man. Like Luke Ryan, one of the informed players of the comp, and Sarong as well. They've got something out of Jordan Clark, which, you know, I think they ended up stealing him from Geelong. I don't know how much they gave for him, but that's a steal in the end.
Yeah,
that's a lot of run. They're looking great. Luke Jackson's been excellent. Yeah, they're on their thing, man.
Yeah. And then George points out they were the number one ranked scoring team last year for points per game, and now they're last.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I think a big part of that, Jordan Dawson was, we were raving about him last year as the best kick in the league, not this year. He just hasn't been hitting targets, man. Like if you search it, like I'm curious now, I'll have a little look, but his disposal efficiency of these games has just, it's not been there, man. It's not been there like it was last year.
And the thing is, like, their midfield looks on paper better now because they've got Crouch back playing good footy. Dawson's in there established. Laird's in there established. But it's not working as a trifecta at the moment.
Well, actually, I was going to say, guess Dawson's disposal efficiency for the last game.
Oof. I'll say 60.
No, lower.
50.
48%.
Oh.
And his average for the year is 55%.
That's bad.
It's ridiculous.
That's really bad.
That is ridiculous. And it's, oddly enough, he still has an elite 9 effective kicks a game. But when you're butchering a lot of them, it's not good, man.
Seems like he's taking on a lot of the responsibility to be the ball user out of there, and it's not coming off at the moment. But
yeah, which is weird because I feel like Laird's a decent user still. And Crouch... he's solid as well. He's at least calm with the ball. He doesn't just blaze away or, you know, do dumb stuff. So,
well, the forward line clearly not ticking. And George actually has given an absolute gem of a fact here. Adelaide's away record, right? Haven't beat a top eight side away in 3 years.
Damn.
Now, look, last year was the first year they were actually a decent side. The other 2 years, I can believe that. But that's a pretty long time for a team that wants to be playing finals to not be able to win away.
Yeah, because you need to win more than what half the games of the season, and to do that you have to get a few upset wins.
Yep.
If they're not doing it, then top eight's just, I think you could probably rule it out already. I'd be pretty comfortable to rule them out of the top eight based on the first three games.
Well, you know what? It's just a very competitive landscape.
Yeah.
And they're behind the eight ball massively right now.
Mm. For them to come back would be huge at this point.
Yeah.
Huge for them to get into the top eight from this point.
Yeah, I currently can't see it either. I've got to agree with you there.
And big overreaction of the week.
I'll give it a guarantee.
Ooh, the Dino guarantee.
They're not. How could they when the eight's so competitive?
True.
I don't know. I'm willing to call that from now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'll co-sign it to an extent. another decent little player for Freo. I liked Draper's game, man.
Okay.
He actually looks very solid, man. Like, he's got the dreads. He was compared to their other, what was it, number? Was he, they have this, I'm pretty sure they have the same number, actually. 37. Maybe not. Michael Johnson. He's kind of compared to Michael Johnson. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
Remember Michael Johnson, the athletic free-air defender?
The defender, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, I kind of see that because he's not like a huge full back, but he's, you know, decent size, pretty mobile, looked very comfortable with the ball. He felt like he got a lot of it in the first half. Mm. So, yeah, no, shout out to Draper. He's a decent one.
And you know what? He's learning from Alex Pierce at the moment, who suddenly just hit prime form out of nowhere.
I know. After we shat-talked him big time, he's all of a sudden, he's good.
Pay us the shit in your team.
Yeah, there we go. That's it. And specifically players, that's an extra $80. Yeah. But yeah, look, that's a pretty decent backline when you look at it now, man. Like those two as your key defenders, Luke Ryan chopping off stuff and using the ball well, Jordan Clark providing that burst. Mm. Warner looked really good in that, like the 50% game time he had in the first round. So he might come back after his concussion. Mm. Promising, very promising.
Oh, nice. Good on Freo, man. They're overachieving what everyone thought this year. So
big time, big time.
The next game, man, Saints dropped the game to the Bombers here.
Yeah, look, here's two teams that won't make the eight as well because they're just
calling them two out of it as well.
Yeah, 100%. No, neither of these two teams are making the eight. They're so sloppy, bro. And again, like, yeah, I'm looking at their I don't know. St. Kilda should be all right, man. They should be okay. Like they've got a few really strong individuals, and the way they play so quick, you'd think it would translate to a win here. But
I think the Saints just massively rely on King, and when he's not there,
yeah, true.
You're relying on Higgins and a couple of those smaller forwards to do damage when they need the big guy crashing the pack for them to be extra effective.
Yeah.
So I think that's what stopped them from kicking a bigger score, but. Credit to the Bombers, man. Like at times in the game, you thought these guys are going to get steamrolled now, but they always kind of stayed close enough to then make a late run, and they hit the lead late for the first time, and that's it, game. So, you know, I think anyone who watched the game could see that the Saints should have won it, but credit to the Bombers, man. Like, you know, they've got guys like Nick Martin equaling the disposal record, but not effective enough for me. Like,
look, I thought he was good because he provided a lot of drive. I think he provided a lot of drive for them. Like he was constantly making an option of himself. And he wasn't butchering it that much. Like I thought after the first round, when I traded him out of my Supercoach team, when he was he was bad in the first round. I can't believe how bad he was. In this game, he actually made, you know,
mostly
good decisions. So I thought he was just fine. I don't think he was as bad as what all the commentators were making it out. Like, oh mate, he's got 46 disposals, but he's still shit. Like that was literally the rhetoric from them the entire game.
Yeah.
Which was I thought it was a bit
apparently
dumb.
George reckons Ross Lyon was asked whether he wanted to tag Martin, but suggested that he wasn't hurting them that badly.
Yeah, nah. It was a bit much.
It was a weird game. Like even here, George has written 17 turnovers for Bonner, most in the comp since 2012. And actually, friend of the pod, Chris, also mentioned that.
Yeah, Riley Butcher.
Riley Butcher.
Ever since I talked him up, apparently. But you know, he was like, you know, the yin and yang. They posted on Fan Footy, the yin yang on Fan Footy. He was on 28 Supercoach. We're talking Supercoach here, right? But like he was shocking. And I'm watching that first half, like this is the least athletic, non-key position, non-ruckman I've ever seen play the game. He can't pick the ball up from under his knees, bro. He's like I don't know, has he got a hernia? Is he playing with a hernia? But it's like the only way he can play well is if someone hand passes him the ball, is the way I was reading it. But then in the second half, he was all right. He was providing a lot of drive, still butchering it a bit, but like...
It could just be like a mixture of mentality. And obviously he's not an amazing athlete, but...
No.
It's got to be the mentality as well and the drive to actually like try his best at it at least.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like he might even be... Yeah, like Chole, they would say, oh, mate, he looks lazy, lackadaisical and all that. Riley Bowen, he's the same thing, bro.
Yeah.
He's the same thing, maybe worse. And it's worse because he's a defender as well. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
Anyway, but he did redeem himself in the end. Like, you know, he had a moment where, you know, took an intercept mark and pushed it forward. You know, he got a bit better, but nah. But I don't think they have another option. He's probably just going to stay out there, despite being, you know, that bigger butcher.
But otherwise, don't have too much more to say in this game. George has also pointed out Henry and Wood and King missing the game.
Yeah, those are huge outs.
They're pretty big outs.
Yeah.
So I think of the two teams, I'm still backing in the Saints as a finals chance, personally.
Mm.
I don't think the Bombers will. Mm. I can't see it.
Yeah, this high energy, hard edge, how, I don't know how long it can last for. You know,
it's all talk from Brad Scott, man. Let's be honest. Like,
true,
come on.
True. But look, they, you can see Zach Merritt really embodying that. And I think that's very hopeful.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just everyone else needs to bring that consistent effort with him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a very cliche. I think, oh, mate, they've all got to rally behind this Zach Merritt kid. But it's true, though. He really, really puts in. Mm. So, yeah. You know, on top of being the outside class. So, yeah, no, he's a good watch.
He is. Speaking of teams underwhelming this year, I reckon, Port Adelaide. I don't know, man. I'm not vibing him this year as much as I thought I would.
Maybe is Ken Hinckley finally going to cop the sack? Is Dino, who's been calling for his head for years now?
Nah, I don't think so. But look, Melbourne, take nothing away. Mm. Great away performance. Like, to be in a game against Port Adelaide and at times all the momentum against you and still hang in there without Stephen May, very impressive win.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But Port simply should not allow that to happen. Like, especially with no Stephen May. How does your forward line with Marshall, Dixon, the occasional ruck resting, like Finlayson, you've got so many threats. How are you not just kicking a few too many more goals?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know. Especially at home as well. Was it at home? No.
Yeah, it was. It was in Adelaide.
It was. Oh, no. I don't really understand it. But yeah, look, I don't think there was a player. Butters and Rosie, I'll say, both of them didn't impact the game nearly as much as they should have, especially in the early stages.
Yeah.
So I think that doesn't help at all. But that, I reckon, is highly influenced by Gorn just being a freak and just bodying Soldo.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, yeah, I think that really affected them in this game. I don't know. I think, I don't think it's alarm bells just yet for Port, but it's a wake-up call that they're not, you know, those final pieces that they did get in the trade period, that wasn't everything. They still got to rock up, you know?
And especially because they were to their defense, and you've got Ben Brown, who I'll admit in the last couple of games, he's looking like he's got one final chapter left in his career.
Yeah, he's not looking as like unathletic as usual, which is interesting.
He's
maybe
looking pretty good.
The vegan diet's finally actually working, you know? I don't know. He's tweaked it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
He's got it just right. Doing Nistia all the time, you know?
So like you've got him playing well, but ultimately how, I don't understand how they're not defending better as a team, Port.
Yeah. Actually, one thing we got to bring up when speaking of, you know, defending, right? Radigalia had the dumbest moment of the entire year.
I didn't see it. What happened?
So basically he fumbled this mark, a chest mark, right, on the goal line. But that wasn't the issue. It was the fact that he fumbled a chest mark after the ball crossed the line in the goal. So it's just like, bro, punch, bro.
Yeah.
Punch. You, like, it's just low awareness and IQ in that moment from Radigalia. Poor. That's like shacked in a fool type moment. You know what I mean? Like allowing the goal, going for the mark instead of making sure that, you know, the goal didn't get scored. Like it was just, you have to watch it to understand the stupidity.
Fair enough. No, that's poor.
Dumb.
I will say, just pointing out someone who we don't talk about often at all, Neil Bullen played very well.
Yeah, no, he's a dude that, like, I don't know, maybe it's because he's got an annoying name. You just don't want to talk about him much, but, you know, is it Alex Neil Bullen? Was it Andrew Neil Bullen?
I think it's Alex.
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 Yeah. Alex Neil Bullen, man.
I think
those hyphenated names are just annoying, bro.
I think in a big game, though, like when you're getting mid-20s disposals and kicking two very important goals, like, that's the difference right there.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Port didn't have that from Butters and Rosie as much as usual, and he's gone and done the business. So
there you go.
Fair play, man.
Next trade period, Butters for Neil Vaughan.
couldn't imagine that.
Nah.
Look, this next game, we're not going to talk about too much. The Dogs smashed up the Eagles.
Yeah. I think the only thing we can really say is Bevo does weird stuff, bro. Like, he didn't play Bont in the guts until, like, the second half. Destroying Supercoach again. Look, he subbed out Libba, which is probably a good move, to be honest with you.
He does these things. I think it's a sign of overconfidence, knowing that you're going to win anyway. Why not give this player more on-ball minutes, for example?
Yeah.
But ultimately, I agree. Like, you want to be getting your team up and going the way they're going to be playing most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially in the first half. In the first half, just let them run out and do their thing.
Exactly, you know? Right.
The
Eagles kicked 2 goals in the first quarter and then didn't kick their 3rd goal until very late in the last quarter. That's bad.
Yeah, nah.
I was watching it probably for longer than I should have been. And what I would say is, like, man, the Eagles literally just, as soon as they get the ball in their defense, it's like bomb it as far as you can. Not even an effort to try and play out.
I feel like they don't have the quality to try and play it out, man. Like,
I think they'd be forgiven for trying, though.
Yeah.
If you're going to lose by 70 anyway.
Yeah, at least show some sort of technique and some sort of football plan. Some football planning, some structures, you know.
Like, at least North, like,
Adam Simpson's not a bad coach.
Yeah. Like North and Hawthorn concede a lot of goals off turnover, but people are at least acknowledging, like, they're trying to take the corridor or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, it's almost like they're defeated already, man. They just they don't have the...
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
And you know what? The Dogs are flat track bullies anyway.
Yeah,
like, guys
true.
Like Waitman and Norton, flat track all over them.
They love these type of games.
They love it.
100%. Who topped the goals for them, Matt? Who topped the goals?
They had...
3 from Bond, which is...
English, Gallagher?
Rory Gallagher. There you go.
Waitman, 2. Norton, only the 1 goal, but 20 touches. So he bullied him a bit.
Yeah, Cripps, 1 goal, 5, man.
Really old, jeez.
So it was a bit of an even spread, but I think we can move on from this one.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, I don't think there's too much more to say with that.
George goes,
who cares? What are these guys meant to do week to week? Worse than last year. Ooh. Fair. Nah, that's a strong call.
Fair enough.
Man. This game, to quote George, easily the most impressive win of the round. 100%. Shout out to, you know, Adam Muze getting his first win. My mate's cousin getting the first win of the season. They, without Dusty, without, I think there was a few players out. Like, I think more guys ended up getting injured as well. Lynch went and Bolter.
They're gone for a while, actually.
Yeah, so that's really tough. But, man, they showed a lot of heart. They showed, you know, that pressure, which, you know, matching Sydney's pressure. So that's excellent for them, man.
Well, that's the exact thing, is that there were so many moments in the game where you're like, all right, now it's Sydney's time. And now. It just never happened.
No.
Because Richmond was just so tough in the contest and really, like, left it all out there. So you have to respect it. And I would say overall this year, like, when you take into account, they had a poor opening round against the Suns.
Yes.
They managed to get back in the game, but really poor start to that game.
Mm.
And then they've done pretty well against Carlton.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at this one thinking, okay, there's actually something to what they're doing or trying to do.
I feel like they showed that from, you know, in the Carlton game at least.
I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I thought they weren't going to be a good team this year. But look, at the moment they're hanging in there, they're fighting, but I think these injuries are going to be a bit too much to overcome. Baker's gotten suspended for a week now as well.
True, and he was big for them as well, getting that inside midfield minutes and using it well as he does. But I think Tim Taranto and Shai Bolton, who are arguably their most, I'll say 2 out of the top 5 most important players, had their best games of the season.
Yes.
And that was on the back of Shai Bolton actually getting CBAs, you know, getting, you know, inside midfield minutes.
It's a very good player.
Yeah. He had like 600 meters gained, man. You know, I think that just shows that, you know, all right, let's let him do that because he provides so much drive. And this is against the, you know, a midfield that has been elite this year in, you know, Sydney's Heaney and Warner and Goulden. Taranto, best game of the season. I feel like the last few weeks of Taranto, we'd been confused. I'm like, is this the same dude? Is this the same guy who was dominating last year? Like, I don't know, like, he backed off towards the end of last year, but I don't know if you remember, but like the first 10 rounds,
oh, it was crazy.
He might have been top 5 mids in the league. Like, he was crazy. So, you know, good for him to finally, you know, get that type of performance and, you know, be, you know, prolific ball winner and get a goal as well.
Yep. What about Sydney though? So Errol Goulden, Warner, not their best game.
No, they didn't use it very well. They did not use it very well.
What's the I mean, I know Richmond brought the contest to them. So, you know, you can give all the credit in the world to Richmond, but Sydney, after having such a promising start to the year, this is a fumbled loss, this one. They've messed up, in my opinion.
Well, I guess, you know, you can put it to a bit of an experience as well. Like, these are still, it's still a really young team when you think about it. Like, Heaney appears young, but he's older, right? But then it's the next two dudes are, you know, Gordon, Warner, third, fourth year players, Robon, relatively young as well. I wouldn't be too concerned if I was them, to be honest with you. Like, well, you lose one game, you know. But look, it shows that that's, you know, are they that top four guarantee that we thought they were going to be? Perhaps not.
Well, that's the thing, right? So I guess it depends on what you expect out of them.
Yeah.
I was starting to think top four is on the agenda for them, but if you're dropping a random game like this, I don't know. Depends on the competition, I guess.
Yeah.
True. Fair enough. Yeah, well, look, again, I'll just say Richmond deserved it better than I thought they were. So got to just leave it at that. And
yeah,
I think with their injuries, it's going to be hard for them to string some form together. Mm. But if they're going to compete that hard, I think they'll be a fun watch.
Yeah,
and their 100%. Fans will be pretty content with them rebuilding and them being so competitive.
Yeah, well, the fans, you could see how much they enjoyed that one. Like, yes. It's like, obviously they've had a lot of fun and, you know, they've had the, you know, they've had all these finals in the last few years, but this one really brought up their spirits, which, you know,
much needed
for the fan base. And actually, again, Vlastuin.
Hey.
You know, Vlastuin. However you say his name, Vlastin, whatever you say. Vlastuin, he was excellent, man. He was excellent. That's why they don't give the ball to Short anymore, because Vlastin's that dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair.
So,
he's a definite leader in that defense for them.
Mm, yeah, I didn't expect that. He's elevated big time. He's like, he's in that Tom Stewart, Sicily, Luke Ryan type mold of a player.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's providing.
Well, he's that important to them, I agree, for sure.
You know, is he at their level? Probably not. But, you know, that's the role that they've given him, and he's doing really well.
And I think when those guys are the one you play out of, I don't know, something about it just seems more like structured, because you look at teams like North, you're playing out with like a Fisher or a Sheasel, as good as Sheasel is, but you kind of want your main distributor to be a bit bigger, a bit stronger. You don't mind them sitting back.
Yeah, and an interceptor as well.
Yeah, like an interceptor.
They get it and then they use it straight away.
Correct. You know? So you're happy with Ryan sitting back there because he'll intercept and then use it well. Whereas Sheasel, he's not really intercepting, as an example.
Nah, not often.
Yeah. No, well done to him as well.
Mm.
And the last game of the round just finished earlier, finally, after the 46-minute delay. 46 minutes, man.
Yeah, can you believe that? Crazy.
That I've never seen a game stop for that long.
Mm.
That's nuts. But
I think the Lance Franklin goal, I reckon that stopped it. I swear.
I don't think it was 46 minutes even. And that was thousands of people on the ground.
Mm, but look, there would have been a break because of the halftime. It was quarter time break anyway.
Yeah, three quarter time.
So I guess they just extended the break. But that was in the middle of the game. And it was just like, what, 30 minutes, 40 minutes?
Yeah, easy.
So I don't know. Which is the greater break? We'll decide it on the next episode. we'll break it down.
Cats won, 36 points.
Yeah. Look, we can talk about this game, despite...
Of course,
despite it looking like a bad scoreline. How much were Geelong up by in the first quarter? Because I was looking, I'm like, this is diabolical, man.
This is
like...
It was 30-something.
Yeah, this was like Hawthorn were like West Coast out there.
Yeah.
Where it's like that bad.
36 at quarter time, and it was too easy.
Yeah, how can I explain it? There was no oomph in Hawthorn's midfield.
Yeah.
It was just all Geelong, which an undermanned Geelong midfield as well, I might add.
Tanner Bruin, 15 touches and 6 clearances in the first quarter.
Yeah. This is his best game.
That says it all.
As a cat. So,
and to your point, man, there was in the last 3 minutes of the quarter of the first quarter, 3 Geelong goals. So like they're basically walking it in.
Yeah. No, it was
walking it in.
Yeah.
But look, as Hawthorn did last year, they hadn't really done it this year properly, but they can really get going.
Yeah, and they did, man.
And they did.
In the second quarter.
They came all the way back, which was like sort of looking at it like, why isn't Geelong able to stop this? There was nothing to it. They were just winning the ball all of a sudden and hurling it forward and just winning the ground level ball and goal. Or like Chol would mark it or Lewis would mark it. But
yeah, it's very much like, and it got to the point where it was probably too much just play on and run and play on and run because they took a mark like in the 50 and they did it again. I'm like,
that was ridiculous. Yeah.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing? You get a mark in the 50, you stop. But you know, like that's the very clear game plan that they have. And you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it was just Geelong just the pressure just rolled off, man. They're just like, hey, guys, let's just chill out.
Yeah, it was a weird vibe of a game. Like, I didn't expect it to be so, much like a seesaw, I guess, from Geelong's point of view. Like, how are you letting Hawthorn get on a run when they weren't doing anything special?
No, not at all.
Like, to Hawthorn's credit, so they end the first half 11 points down and then kick the first of the third quarter. So they're down by 4 points. And then before you know it, 10 minutes later, it's back to 30 points.
Back to what it was,
You know, pretty harsh from them, but I think Hawthorn fans will be happier that they showed some life. Mm. Guys like Wizard Watson,
apart from that, like point blank range, like shank off the. That was weird.
Probably had another second to just straighten the ball on his boot, but
yeah,
he did have his best game yet. Chole best game yet.
Yeah, I think there was two moments for Watson. Obviously, the goal that he got off the crumb, and then there was a nice pickup that he gave off to. Ward, I think.
Yeah.
And then Ward, got the behind. But that little quick pickup, that's what you want in your key forwards.
And he did a few nice moments when he picked up the ball from midfield, turned, and just a quick pass to someone on the open side. Like, really just good awareness of who's open on the field and moving the ball quickly. But, look, well done to the Hawks. But, look, it was all about Tommy Hawkins today. Game 350.
Yeah.
You know, it was all this fanfare and, like, he's such a quality player. Like, if we just reflect for a second, how good the Tomahawk's been over the last, seems like forever for me, but...
Yeah, the weird thing about it is it felt like after the age of maybe 28 is when he actually became good. Like, and we're talking proper good. Like, because he was always like a solid player. Or maybe it's because I was younger and I didn't really appreciate what he provided. But like, I just always thought of him as, he's a solid key forward. He'll clunk a few marks here and there and then get 2 goals, 6 in a game. But then he really just sharpened his play and just became I think the game just slowed down for him, really.
Yeah.
You know, like he's, the goal assist king with, along with now, Lionel Messi. Like, so it's like, shout out to him, man.
Yeah. Excellent player, great career. But look, Geelong for me, it's a weird one. I think everyone kind of hoped that they would drop off. Just like they did last year, drop off maybe a bit more or at least be the same. I think they're back to a more steady position where it's not going to be easy to beat them, like beat them up or like...
You're
going to have to play well to beat them, I think, because they're a pretty well-structured team.
100%. Well, look, it's still a lot of the same players, really, and when you've got, Tomahawk still actually... He actually looks... Not only is he, a career champion, but he still actually looks all right. He's still moving well. He can still clunk a mark. So he's still fine. Jeremy Cameron, he's still in the top 3 forwards in the game. Maybe 4?
Yeah, probably top 4.
Yeah.
Kerno and Mackay are the best 2.
Yeah, and then what? Cameron, Larky, Ben Mackay.
King Brothers probably.
The King Brothers. Yeah. So he's still up there in the top echelon for sure.
He's still in the top 10, easy.
We'll have to do a key forward tier list.
Yeah, possibly.
I think,
the only issue with Geelong, though, is their midfield. So we said Tanner Bruin had his best game yet. Jai Clark's, looking pretty promising.
But the
Hawthorn midfield just overran them at one point.
Which is weird because they did the complete opposite in the first quarter.
Correct. So I think being a young midfield, maybe that's why they lost the grip of the game because they can't keep up a 4-quarter dominance of the midfield like they used to. So as good as their defense is, like Stewart and the like, if the ball's coming in so quickly... That's how they'll be beaten, I think.
That's fair. Because that's the thing. Most of their older dudes aren't, like, apart from Paddy Dangerfield, there's no inside midfield dudes. And even their ruckman, like, Rhys Stanley's meh.
Well, they had Conway today.
And Conway, again, second game player, the guy who cost me the Supercoach final last year.
Jeez.
Can you believe it?
I didn't know that.
Can you? I don't know. Since we've mentioned Toby Conway, I'll give you a little story. Last year, in my work cash league, I had Tim English, right? So my opponent had Zach Butters as captain, who might have got 150, right? I had Tim English as captain against Toby Conway, a first game ruckman. I'm like, I just need a 130 here and I win. Tim English got like 102. Something ridiculous like that. They actually had to move him to the forward line because Conway was that dominant over him. I couldn't believe my eyes. I could not believe my eyes. I was sitting, just more context. I'm sitting watching like AFL international view on a beach because I was overseas on a beach in Aya Marina, a beautiful place, right? Aya Marina in Chania. I'm just chilling on the beach like this, and I'm angry in this beautiful place. I'm pissed off.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, very sad.
But you know, I will say, like, finally Geelong has what seems to be a normal good ruckman because they've been like re-standling it for a while, or like
re-standling it.
Blitzarves.
Oh, Blitzarves is a gun, but yeah.
Look, he's a gun, but something about seeing him as a midfielder in this EBA just it reeks of a Scott Brother arrogance to me. Like, I don't want to see that, man.
Fair enough.
Come on.
Fair
enough. Like, yeah, no, not for me.
Can you imagine if they went him? Because remember they were talking about Tom Stewart in the midfield at one point? Oh, can you imagine if they went Blitzarves and Tom Stewart?
Makes me sick. Makes me sick, man. But I look, yeah, Conway, he did look pretty good. I guess when the game became rainy, he was never going to look as good as he did in the first half. But first half was really good. Really good first half. And that was all the games. Look, Gold Coast and the Giants had the bye. Don't know who needed the bye. I don't know any of their news, like who's been resting up from injuries and whatnot. But
But yeah, look, they're going to come back and just be primed and ready to go. They're both teams in relatively decent form.
And the funny thing is, and this is what I was calling for a few weeks ago, they play each other this round, which makes sense. That's what they should have done with the opening round teams, have them play each other the next week. So it's not unfair to the rest of the league.
That is true.
This is how you should have booked it. Anyway, let's get through the next week's games anyway. So Gather Round is here. Pretty successful last year. So it's going around for another couple of years. But anyway, year two of it. Adelaide is starting us off on Thursday night against Melbourne. Must win for Adelaide, but I don't think they'll
happen.
Do it.
Ain't going to happen, man.
I agree. Melbourne's just won in Adelaide.
Yeah.
They're going to win again.
They're going to spend the week there. They're going to be comfortable. You know what I mean? They're going to be sipping back a couple of red wines, which is apparently very nice over there.
Gorney's he's got a winery, doesn't he,
Gorney? Yeah, exactly. He'll love it, man. They'll visit some churches, get in touch with God. And, they'll be just fine. The city of churches.
Mutual Melbourne tip on that one, I reckon.
Yeah.
So, the next game. So, Friday night, I didn't realize North has another Friday 5-10er. And again, we're the entree.
What is going on here? I don't know.
Anyway, so we're playing Brisbane, who we mentioned earlier, yet to win. North get to win.
14th versus 16th.
We have nothing to lose here.
Yeah. And we're six. Our odds is $6.
Mate,
I might have to put cheeky.
You know what? We're going to win this game. I'm tipping North. As depressed as I am.
The thing is, like, because we didn't get Georgie tips.
We didn't get Georgie tips.
So, like, I think we're just going to mutually tip these. And all right, let's go with North. Let's go with North.
I'll give some context, though.
All right.
I have clear memory. Maybe I'm just imagining this. But last year, Brisbane, did they lose to Hawthorn at the G? I think they might have. And it was a disgusting performance. So I'm thinking here, Brisbane against a poor team who's got nothing to lose and will risk it all to try and win the game, play daring footy, whatever. I think we might actually.
Nah, look, honestly, I can't see it happening, bro. No, I can't rationalize it, bro.
Fair enough.
So we're going to have to get Brisbane, bro.
Oh, you're going Brizzy. No, I'm going North. He's not here to stop us.
If George is not here, we're going with the favourite.
George will tip Brisbane. We don't need to ask him to know what he would go for.
We don't need to. This is a very interesting one.
Port Adelaide versus Essendon.
Maybe it's not as interesting as I thought now that I look at the...
I'll go Port. I don't know.
I'm happy to go with Port as well because I don't like Essendon. But look, don't be surprised if Essendon come out and,
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a close game. Not at all. But I think Horn Francis is back. Port's just lost a close one against a pretty good Melbourne team. So I think they'll bounce back.
Yeah. This one, Sydney.
West Coast v Sydney, Sydney. Yeah,
Sydney.
Frio versus Carlton. Interesting. Does Frio have the defensive sort of mindset to keep it a scrappy, low-scoring game?
Do they have the mindset, Does Frio?
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I was going to say, well, is that a rhetorical question? That's their game. So is that you're saying that Frio might win?
No, I think Carlton will win.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, I was actually thinking, do I call up Georgie and we can get his live tips on the phone call? But nah. Look, I'm happy to go. I'm happy to stick with
Carlton. Look, to be fair, he would tip Melbourne against Adelaide, I'm sure. Yeah. He would tip Brisbane. He'd tip Port. Yeah. I don't think he'd be changing our minds on any of these games.
Fair enough. We'll stick with Carlton on that one.
Dogs against Geelong.
Dogs versus Geelong. I think the Dogs are better. That, like, I know they just beat West Coast, but they beat Gold Coast the game before that. So
I think Geelong will win. And I'll tell you why. I think their forward line will give the Dogs' defense too many headaches. And I'm not sure that Geelong's too worried about the Dogs' forward line.
You're not going to convince me, to be honest with you. I don't think you're going to convince me.
You're going to go Dogs?
Yeah, I'm going Dogs, man. Do I have to call up Georgie so we can get a talk?
You can call George.
I'm calling them up, bro.
You can call George?
Yeah, it's going to have to be on Messenger. Jeez. All right, give me a sec, man. Right.
So I'll skip this game while you're calling.
Mm, yeah.
And I'll talk a bit about Gold Coast Giants. I think Giants are going to win pretty easily against Gold Coast.
Giants against Gold Coast. Giants. Yeah, I think that's fair. No, I'm happy with that one. No tiebreaker required.
Yeah.
I don't know if Georgie's going to pick this up, to be honest with you. Because I don't call him on Messenger. This is weird. Hey, you're on the pod live right now, man. We need a tiebreaker for which game was it?
Dogs v Geelong.
Dogs v Geelong, bro. What do you reckon? it's at Adelaide. Gather around. Yeah. I've gone with the Dogs and Dino's gone Geelong. So, I don't know. Ella? Yeah, Dangerfield.
Is he back?
I don't know if Dangerfield's back, but I don't know. Yeah.
Actually, the Dogs' midfield is pretty strong against Geelong's midfield.
Yeah, well, Georgie reckons the Cats.
Cats.
He reckons the Cats. All right, so then that's it. Do you have any other tiebreaker ones?
Does he think Gold Coast GWS?
Gold Coast GWS. Well, we both said GWS, Dino, so it doesn't really...
Actually, all right. So the next tiebreaker might be Richmond.
Yeah, yeah. He said GWS 100%, bro. I'm gonna start doing Georgie's voice 100%, bro.
What about Richmond against Saints?
What was that?
Richmond Saints.
Richmond Saints, bro.
It's got to be Saints for me.
Sure. Yeah. So apparently, because of the injuries to Richmond, you know, he's going with the Saints. So I'm happy to do that as well. I'm with you on that.
And then we've got Collingwood Hawthorn.
Collingwood. Ducks.
All right, let's run through his others now that we've got him.
All right.
So Adelaide, Melbourne. We both went Melbourne.
So what did you think with Adelaide and Melbourne, by the way? That was the first game of the round. Melbourne, 100%. Yep.
100%. Okay.
Yep.
Brisbane North. We were tied on that one, technically.
Brisbane North. We actually were tied. I couldn't. Are you serious?
He's gone north.
I was going to say, bro. It's weird because you guys can't hear this. He's like, north, north, north. I'm like, yeah, nah, that's not. That can't happen. This is probably really bad podcasting right now. Got someone on the phone.
That's all good. Port Adelaide, Essendon, actually. He might.
What was that?
Port Adelaide, Essendon.
So two people keep speaking to me at once. It's getting hard. Port Adelaide versus what? What did you say there?
Essendon.
Oh, Port versus Essendon, man. What's the go with that one? Jodzaki? Port, there we go.
Port, okay. Port, yep.
Yeah.
We don't need to ask him Eagle Sydney. What about Freo Carlton?
Freo Carlton, what's the go, mate?
Well, I wonder who Georgie's going to tip.
They're going to destroy them, apparently. Carlton
destroy them?
They're going to give him a spanking. In Carlton is Freo, but better.
Freo, but with Kerno and Mackay.
With Kerno and Mackay. And better colour as well, navy blue over the purple.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's all we needed you for, Georgie. But now,
thanks, George.
Thank you for being part of it, mate. Catch you later, bro. Hello to everyone who's watching from Georgie. Catch you, Georgie. Bye.
There you have it.
There we go.
George, tie breaking us.
There was way too much Greek. I don't know what it is when I get on the phone. Greek comes out, bro. I don't know.
I'm surprised you didn't do that thing that Greeks do on the phone, like yell into it.
Yeah. Hey, what's your tip for? Oh, man.
Well, I guess that's about it, man. Was there anything else from the round you wanted to mention? Or?
No, I'm pretty content. Pretty content with all that. Gather round coming up. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's it. Grow out your mullets. Get yourself ready to go.
That's it, man. Well, thanks everyone for watching again, as always, and listening. Sub, like, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, yeah, the boys will see you on the next one. I won't. I'll be taking a couple of weeks off, but...
There we go. Dino's he's already prepared. He's laid out.
Yeah. Well, not a laid out technically.
No, not really. Some planned leave happening.
Some planned leave
for Dino. But yeah, it's gonna be a 2-man pod again next week. But you know, rotating cast.
Maybe you can call me next week.
See how maybe we go. Actually, it's not a bad idea. I reckon we should do it. That was fun.
Let's see how we go.
Yeah, it's bad podcasting because you can't actually hear the person's phone call unless I put it on speaker.
You know what? Next time we should try speaker.
Yeah, speaker, and I'll put it next to the mic and see how we go. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, thank you guys for watching.
See you next time.
Catches.